My sermon for this morning is based upon the Old Testament reading, where we read about the story of Isaac and Rebekah, who were part of a family. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, the Bible is clear. It is you who places the lonely into families. As we take a closer look this morning at living with family members, may we see you. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that we are looking at when it comes to Isaac and Rebekah is that they were very dysfunctional. Have you ever witnessed or been part of a family or an organization or a church that has been dysfunctional? If you have, raise your hand. You know, it is George Burns, I believe, who said this. There's nothing better than a large, caring family in another city. You know, family is like fudge. Sweet, but sprinkled with nuts. Did you hear about the little boy who went to his father and said, "Dad, how did we get here?" "Oh, son," he said, "you see, there was this big bang, and through evolution, we evolved, and we came from monkeys, and now we're humans. That's where we came from." "Oh." Talk about dysfunction. Went to his mother and said, "Mother, how did we get here?" And mother says, "Well, there is a God who created the heavens and the earth. He created the animals and everything on earth. He created human beings, and he put them into families, and we came. We're part of God's family. He created us." "Oh, well, I'm kind of confused, Mom. Why so?" "Well, Dad told me that we came from monkeys." "Oh," she said, "I can explain that. He was describing his side of the family, and I'm describing my side of the family." Well, when it comes to individuals, married couples, families, in the Bible is full of nuts. Let's take a look at the family of Isaac and Rebekah. Now, Isaac is the son of Abraham. You want to talk about a dysfunctional person? It's Abraham. Although he's the father of three world religions, although he's looked at the great man of faith, he was so dysfunctional. He gave his wife away three times, proclaiming, "It's my sister." He was a liar and a deceiver. He didn't trust God, even though God came to him in person and promised the Messiah, promised to Adam and Eve through him. Did he have faith in that and trust in the Lord? No, he took matters into his own hand and wanted to do it his way through Hagar. Now, Abraham finally had Isaac. Isaac learned from the dysfunctional father that he had. He tried to pass his wife off as his sister. And when it came to trusting God and doing it God's way, he was so dysfunctional. Him and Rebekah. When God finally gave them twins, and the first one came out hairy. You want to talk about original, they called him Harry. Esau. When the next son came out grabbing the heel, that is, of his older brother, They called him heel grabber. That's what Jacob means. And God made the promise to Isaac and to Rebekah. Now listen. The older one will serve the younger. The promise of the Messiah, the blessing, the plan of salvation will be through Jacob. If anybody understood that, it should have been Isaac. His older brother served him, Ishmael. But he wasn't going to do it God's way. He was going to do it his way. Now, Jacob learned from his father and mother about dysfunction. He stole and snuck the birthright from his brother Esau over a bowl of soup, you might say. And then he deceived his father with the help of his mother and tricked his father, believing that he was Esau so he could receive the birthright from his father Isaac, which was already his. Talk about dysfunction. And then Jacob decides to flee his dysfunctional family and go to his uncle. So he left a dysfunctional family and went to a very dysfunctional family and married into it. Let me tell you, maybe you've heard somebody say, or maybe you have said this, well, I come from a dysfunctional family and I left it. It's impossible to leave a dysfunctional family because where you are, the dysfunction is. So many people will say, well, I left that dysfunctional church and I went to this other church that's perfect. Or you've heard this, if you find a perfect church, don't join it. Because it won't be perfect anymore. Well, you can't leave dysfunction because you're part of the family of nuts. Yeah. Listen to these words. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are dysfunctional and fall short of the function of God. If we say that we have no dysfunction, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our dysfunction, He is faithful and just and will forgive our dysfunction and begin a process of cleansing us from all our unrighteousness. You see, we are all dysfunctional. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, part of that consequence was dysfunction. Sin is the root of all dysfunction, and we all have dysfunction. Adam and Eve, the first married couple, were dysfunctional. Cain and Abel were dysfunctional. Abraham was dysfunctional. Isaac was so dysfunctional. Jacob was so dysfunctional. David was dysfunctional. Solomon was dysfunctional. And then when you get to the New Testament, dysfunction rules. Peter was dysfunctional. Paul was dysfunctional. Paul and Peter did this. Paul and Barnabas did this. You want to talk about dysfunction in the church? Look at Paul and Barnabas. They couldn't get along. They split and went their own ways and started two new churches that grew. This is the bad news, folks. You are a part of dysfunctional junction as an individual. If you're married, if you have a family, if you are a part of a church, you're part of the dysfunctional junction. But there is an answer to it. It's on the cross. When divine function left heaven and came to earth and lived a perfectly good and salutary life and functioned well on earth. And that divine function went to the cross and died for our dysfunction. And he took with him on the cross all of our dysfunction and gave to us divine function, a seed that began to operate within us, the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And that the divine function enabled us to have faith, to see our sin, and to see our Savior. And it's that divine function that grows and matures in our life and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It won't be complete in this life until we get to the next. Adam and Eve were dysfunctional. Throughout the Bible, full of nuts, we are dysfunctional. But there is an answer. His name is Jesus. And although Abraham was so dysfunctional, God worked through him. Isaac was so dysfunctional, God worked through him. Jacob, all these men are Hebrews 11, the hall of fame of faith, was so dysfunctional. Peter was so dysfunctional. Paul and Barnabas hated one another, but God worked through them. Let me put it in a way you might understand. God reserves the right to function in our dysfunction. The good news is God functions when we're dysfunctional. With Paul and Barnabas in the New Testament, God reserved the right to work through someone who doesn't like you. God reserves the right to work through someone you don't like. God reserves the right to work through dysfunctional people. You know why? There's no other option. God reserves the right to work through the dysfunctional church called the Roman Catholic Church. God reserves the right to work through the dysfunctional church called the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopalian Church. God reserves the right to work through the dysfunctional people in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. God reserves the right to work through the dysfunction of a traditional church and a contemporary church. Because it is God who works through dysfunctional people who have been saved by the function of Jesus Christ. And here's how, listen up. Here's how an individual, if you're here this morning and you are an individual or you're listening to my voice, you know how you spiritually grow? You know how a married couple, after 50 years, still grows spiritually in their oneness? You know how a church spiritually grows? Or you as an individual in a church family spiritually grows? We learn it from Jacob in this very dysfunctional family. We learn it from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were not always this way, but God cleansed them from their unrighteousness slowly as they matured. This is how it happens, folks. You have to put on the but God glasses. The but God glasses. The only way you can grow in your walk with Christ is to see God, not dysfunction. Let me say it again. The only way you can grow is to see God, not dysfunction. Let me tell you how it happens. I can't go Abraham, Isaac, but I can do Jacob. Listen to the words of Jacob. Jacob gathers his two wives together. After 14 years, he wasn't this way 14 years earlier. And he gathers Leah and Rachel together and says, "Your father has not regarded me, but God is with me. Your father has cheated me over these last 14 years, but God has not allowed him to harm me." We see such growth in Jacob. Why? Because he puts on the but God glasses. It's where you see God and not dysfunction. I'm sick and I have cancer, but God is the great physician. I'm asking, but God will answer. I'm knocking, but God will open that door. I'm going to die, but God says, "I will live." I'm a sinner, but God calls me a saint. I say it's impossible, but God says nothing is impossible with me. David wanted to build the temple, but God says, "You're a warrior. I'll build it without you." Solomon wanted to marry 1,000 wives, but God said, "They will lead you astray." Peter says, "We must be circumcised," but God says, "Baptize." Paul says, "I'm going this way." Barnabas says, "I don't like you. I'm going that way." But God grows two churches. When's the last time you put on the but God glasses? As a dysfunctional pastor, I say to you, dysfunctional congregation, it's time we put on the but God glasses. Jesus said, if you're going to build, check out the finances so that in the middle of something, you don't run out of money. But God directs and guides all churches. Our attendance, our giving is going south. Our building needs such repairs. I don't know if we're going to be there for the next generation, but God has an option. I don't know if it's going to work, but God works for the good of everyone who loves Him. If we learned anything today on this Memorial Day, when we remember and memorialize the one who gave his life for each and every one of us so that we would see him on the cross. He gave us the Lord's Supper so that we would put on those glasses and see His sacrifice. Dysfunction is looking at yourself. Dysfunction is looking at all the wrong. Divine function is putting on those but God glasses and saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? As an individual, as a married couple, in a family, as a church, let's put on the but God glasses that Jacob teaches us to do. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, the Bible are those unbelievable glasses that you give us, where we see you as the creator of heaven and earth, the giver of every good gift, the divine function who operates with dysfunctional people, but yet your will is done through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through us here. We thank you for the lessons learned. And may we never forget that you came to be a part of our dysfunction, to give us divine function. And that's within us. May we never forget that, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.